Gospel of John. As you can tell, I have been in the Gospel of John for weeks now, and it's a good place to be. But John chapter 2 is, I want to read some verses here in John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Praise God. This is the account of the first miracle of Jesus. And it's unique in that it was a miracle at a wedding. And a wedding that Jesus and his disciples had been invited to. And with that, I need to stop and remind everybody that this Saturday is a wedding. The little Wyatt girl, I forgot her first name, Vanessa Wyatt. Ernie and Loretta Wyatt's little girl that's too young to get married is getting married. I've told her that, so I've teased her about it, but she wouldn't listen to me. But she's getting married Saturday at noon, 12 noon, and there's an invitation back there on the bulletin board that has some information. It's going to be held at a Christian school, and so make note of that if you're planning to attend. Back to John chapter 2. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed in him. A lot of things about the story of this wedding. And just as an aside here, Jesus was invited to this wedding, and most believe that it was probably a relative, somewhere a connected person to the family, because Mary was there, his mother. And not only was she there, but she was involved in what was going on there. And no doubt she was a family member, relative, possibly an aunt or a cousin. But she was involved enough that she was taking notice of the supply for the wedding. And when she saw that the supply was about to run out, then she turns to Jesus. She turns to Jesus. Now, you have to remember that this is the first miracle that he's performed. But yet Mary, his mother, she knows the miraculous nature of his life. And we've just come through, of course, this Christmas holiday. And the message that is again and again and again reaffirmed is the fact that Jesus' birth was a miracle. He was born of a virgin. And this was a miraculous birth. The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and bare a child. And his name was called Jesus. Just the miraculous nature of his birth, the appearance of the angels, and all the things that took place in that was enough to convince her that this her son that was born was a miracle. And that he was a miraculous. His birth was a miraculous birth. But not only that, his life. Mothers know what's going on with their children, if anybody knows. Mothers know. And this was a case of the Son of God being raised up in this lowly household with a mother observing her son all of those years, and she saw that he was sinless in his life. Amen. And that she knew was miraculous. Any mother that raises kids knows that our children are not sinless. Amen. And they have imperfections and weaknesses, and they fail, and they all do, and mothers know it, and fathers know it. And she knew that not only was his birth miraculous, but that his life was miraculous. Amen? Even though he hadn't necessarily performed a miracle yet, she knew that he was set for a miraculous life. And this revealed the fact, in this account, when she turned to Jesus and said, "They have no wine." And then his response, and it sounds disrespectful, but actually in the original language, this is, you know, to call your mother and just say, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee?" That wasn't all the expression that is inferred here. This is just a term that he was using to say, "What does that mean to me? What can I do about this? How can I make a difference in this situation?" And then he says something that's really amazing. He says, "Mine hour is not yet come." Now, what was he talking about? Now, that phrase is used by Jesus in other places. As a matter of fact, when you go over to John chapter 17, that prayer of Jesus, prayer for his disciples, in John chapter 17, where he prayed for them, and he prayed for the church, prayed for you and me. This was at the close of his ministry when he said, "Father," this is verse 1 of chapter 17, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son." This is at the end of his ministry when he uses the term there and says, "Mine hour is come." But here he is at the beginning of his ministry. So it's not the same meaning at all here in John chapter 2 at this wedding of Cana. He was talking about the hour when the miracles would start. The hour when he would begin to reveal his mighty power. And this was only the beginning of miracles. He was talking about that hour when the power of God was going to be manifested through him in the world. Amen. And that hour, and you'll see this in other places in the Scripture. We'll make reference to maybe another place or two in the Scripture. But the hour, when he said, "Mine hour is not yet come," but it was almost there. Because when she turned away, she didn't believe him at all. She didn't think, she wasn't turned away from him as a miracle worker at all. As a matter of fact, she turned to all the servants that were there. She didn't even respond to him when he said what he said. She just turns to all the servants and said, "Watch him. Keep your eye on him. Be in tune with him. And whatever he says to you, do it. Do it." She had a full expectancy that the hour of the miraculous, the hour of Christ's ministry being revealed, the hour of his power being demonstrated could happen at any moment. Now, when was it revealed? Why did he perform a miracle at this wedding? I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he went to the wedding. I'm glad that he sanctioned marriage. And by the way, marriage is God's idea. It's a biblical idea. And so whenever a society or a government begins to make decisions and change laws and concerning marriage and how it is to be defined, they're moving outside the perimeter of the Bible, God's Word. And what God says about Jesus went to a wedding confirming the fact that he believed
and he was sanctioning what was going on here at this wedding of Cana. And he went there, and the hour that the miracle took place was whenever, and I can just envision this, that Jesus is at the wedding, and he's watching the vessels, and he's watching the glasses as they are being emptied out. And when that, I believe, when that last drop was gone, that's when he said, "What are those six water pots over there? Bring them to me. Bring those six water pots to me. Fill them up with water. And then go and serve them." They listened. They obeyed. They did what he said. The hour of God's miraculous provision was when they had run out. And you'll find that this is a Bible principle. When you look throughout the stories of the Bible and how God moves, and when he shows up in a miraculous way, it's when people have run out of their own means, of their own ability, their own strength. And they can't do anything about the situation that they're in. Maybe some of you are up against things like that right now. You have needs and problems, and you can do anything about it. And it would be really easy to just give up. But you know that the hour of God's provision, of his power being revealed, is just what Jesus was talking about. I am going to show up when you run out. When you have no other provision, you have nowhere else to turn, and no other answer, and no other source. I am the God that can help you, and I will reveal my power in a miraculous way. Praise God. Fill the water pots. Fill them up to the brim. And then set them before the governor, and draw out of those water pots. And as the water, I don't know exactly when it took place, but somewhere in the process of the obedience and the willingness to do what they were told to do, the miracle took place, and the water miraculously turned into wine. Praise God. Now that's the hour that Jesus is talking about, the hour of the miraculous, or the hour of his power being demonstrated in our lives, is when we come to the end, when we are empty. That's the reason why that you're praying. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed for your lost family and loved ones. Well, you need to pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, help them to run out of any other source. Bring them to the end of themselves. Bring them to the end. Bring them to the bottom of the vessel. That they don't have anything else, no other wine of the world to supply them. That they are totally out and empty." And then God moves in. And God works supernaturally. And God provides for you. And some of you here this evening could give a testimony how that when you came to some situation in your life, when you didn't know what was going to happen, you were down to the very bottom, you didn't know where to turn or how things could be resolved, and God moved. God stepped in. There's a song that we play on the radio station that says something like, "That's when God stepped in. That's when he steps in." God moves in whenever we have run out. That's, you know, much of the problem that's in our country now is that people are taking care of their own problems. They're solving their own problems. They're self-sufficient. This is a wealthy nation. And so a lot of people will say, "We don't need God," and they mean it, because they're working out their problems in their own way. But God, supernaturally, the hour that God shows his power and reveals his mighty hand is when people start running out. When they get empty, they have nowhere else to turn. That's what we need to pray in this coming year. Lord, help the lost and those that are in need. Help them to become so empty and so in need, and to have nowhere else to turn, so that God can begin to move just as soon as they come to the end of themselves and they find no joy or fulfillment in anything that the world has to offer. I love the story in Judges chapter 6, whenever All of Israel was in such a mess. And you'll see the same principle in many other stories of the Bible. But in Judges chapter 6, this is the story of Gideon. And you remember that it was the Amalekites, the Midianites, that every time that they would put their seed in the ground, Israel, and they would begin to see the fruit of that come up, the Midianites and the Amalekites, they waited for that. And then they would just swoop in with their great masses and their huge armies, and they would steal everything they had. It says in the text that even their animals, their farm animals didn't have anything to eat. The whole nation was starving. They had nothing. They were down to nothing. It was so bad that Gideon, whenever the Lord appears to him, the angel of the Lord appears to him, he's down in a wine press, threshing what little bit of grain that he could just find. He must have just gone out and just tried to find the little bits and pieces that had been dropped and hadn't been picked up yet by the enemy, the Midianites yet. And he would just gather all that he could. He was afraid for his life that they would steal what he had, because normally you would thresh your grain in a high place, like a threshing floor, so that the wind would blow and all the chaff would blow away. But he's down in a wine press. He's down in a hole, trying to thresh it out. And you can imagine the dust. He's eating the dust of it, and he's just barely trying to eke out just enough to keep his family alive. It's a very pitiful situation he's in. And then the Lord appears to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. He didn't know what he's talking about. Gideon, he couldn't get it. But Gideon was low. And the nation of Israel was low. They were running out. Everything was taken away from him. And even Gideon, whenever the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor, he goes on and describes, and the reason why that he could not at all be what God was saying that he was. He said, I am of the tribe of Manasseh, the smallest tribe. And then he said, my family is the poorest of all of those of Manasseh. And then he said, I am the least in my family. So what Gideon was admitting was, in all of Israel, I am the least likely person. I've bottomed out. That's what he was saying. I'm as low can get. I am a nobody. I have nothing to offer. And what in the world are you saying? This, you're a mighty man of valor. Well, we know the wonderful story, how that God chose him and anointed him and used him and used the humble means, and even whittling the big numbers down to just 300. And just using a lamp and pitchers as he went out there against those enemies. And God set them to flight and destroyed them and gave him a wonderful victory. God, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. But the reason why, it was because that was the hour of God's deliverance. That was the hour of God's miracle. Whenever they got so low and so down, and Gideon is saying, I am on the bottom in this entire nation. I am the least likely to succeed in this entire nation. And you've chosen me, and you're calling me a mighty man of valor. But it's in that hour that God demonstrates his power. That's what Jesus was talking about. My hour has not yet come. The hour comes. The hour of his power manifested, the hour of his miraculous working in our behalf, the hour that God moves in a supernatural way for us, is when we are so low and we have run out and we have nowhere else to turn. And we begin to cry out to God, Lord, move, 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 move in this situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God that he is still working miracles. He is still working miracles. We've had a few dark days in the last couple of weeks. I'm telling you, I was at the hospital last week. I had gotten the call about Mike Broughton's mother having a heart attack. I was at the hospital in the evening, whatever evening that was. I've lost track. But then I get the call that Brother Huff was in terrible pain. had been throwing up all evening, and they were so concerned that Emily and Sister Huff were going to bring him to the ER. So I was just there and I waited on them to get there. And he's already so sick. To find out that he has a kidney stone and he's suffering. And I tell you, there are some low times that you sometimes experience. There have been some low times for Brother Huff in the last few weeks. But I believe the hour of God's power is near. The hour of God's power for him is near. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it so strong that I wanted to in our family prayer time there, but I just didn't have the courage to say it. But I wanted to say, God's getting ready to move for Brother Huff. God's getting ready to move for him. And I believe that the hour of power. Why? Well, he's been down. He's had some low days and terrible sick times. Scraping the bottom in a lot of ways. Asking God for help. Asking God to move. I believe the hour of God's miraculous power is just about here. God's going to move for him. And God's going to move for others of you that you're in need. Don't despair in your praying. Don't despair whenever your loved ones that are lost, when they get down and it seems like that they're in such a hopeless situation and they have nowhere to turn or nothing to do. God knows the very hour that they're going to run out of wine. He knows the very hour that they're going to be empty and they're going to have nothing and nowhere to turn. And that's when God is going to move supernaturally. He's going to talk to them and he's going to deal with them and he's going to work in their need and work in their life and minister to them. Don't give up in your praying. Just keep believing God is at work. And the darker the situation is and the hopelessness of the situation brings you to the end of yourself. And then God steps in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he can do that. What a wonderful example in this wedding miracle. Amen. They run out. He was concerned. When they came to the end, then he was there to supply abundantly and to move. I have such a great respect for Mary because of her determination. Whenever he said, "My hour has not yet come," it didn't stop her, didn't discourage her. She just turns to all the servants and said, "Keep an eye on him. And when he says something, whatever it is, you do it. You listen. And you recognize." You talk about tremendous faith that she had. She just said, "Listen and obey. And then witness the mighty power of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together. I don't know your needs, your concerns, your worries. We've all had times when we were really, really desperately in need. Amen. He's not going to forsake you. Amen. But the hour when God moves, of course, he works sovereignly in our lives. But you'll see throughout the scripture, it's when the people of God had nowhere else to turn. Another place there in Judges was Jehoshaphat, who said, "Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to get out of the situation that we're in. We're surrounded. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. We're waiting. We're expecting you to move because there's absolutely nothing we can do in this situation." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, how we need the Lord to show himself mighty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us. Your eye is upon us. You're concerned about our needs. You know our concerns, our burdens that we carry. You know those that we are praying for. We're believing, Lord, that you are going to move in your time. to accomplish, Lord, what only you can do supernaturally. Praise God. Thank you for it. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord God, to believe and to wait on you and to expect you to move in our needs. Touch these, Lord, that we've been praying for. And Lord, I know that your supernatural hand is at work. And we're waiting on you to move.